With three stores at 174th and Maple and a shop in Fremont, Dillon Brothers has the motorcycle you're looking for. In addition to bikes, they also sell ATVs, side-by-sides, jet skis, and more. Check it all out at Dillon-Brothers.com.
Former Blue Jay.
Inside another turnover thrown right into the hands of Dane Watts. Tolliver leading the field. One-handed stuff.
There's Tolliver's three.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Anthony Tolliver with a hand in his face.
A-Train, Anthony Tolliver.
If you do that for the entire game and you try and make everybody else shoot as much as possible, if Draymond Green shoots 15-plus shots, you're in good shape.
Anthony Tolliver's my guest.
I can guard quick people. Just whenever you have deceptive handles, that's whenever you start making people fall and stuff. I don't like that.
Anthony Tolliver's my guest.
One person goes down and shoots it two or three times in a row. What happens is a domino effect is everybody else feels like they have to shoot it every time they touch it.
Let's dive into the NBA playoffs with Anthony Tolliver on Game Time.
I keep it real all the time, brother.
My guy, Anthony Tolliver, A-Train. Let's bring him in. What's up, AT? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. There's, you know what I love about the NBA right now is there's no shortage of things to talk about, even with the season being done for 2 weeks. I guess I'm not sure how close you followed the draft or college basketball this year, but I'm curious if you had a favorite player in this draft. Who was it? Was there someone that you really liked?
I'm a big fan of Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's gonna be a heck of a player. Lonzo Ball, I like him quite a bit.
Yeah, so do I.
You know, he's kind of more of a traditional point guard than he is a, you know. Colts is more of the new age point guard. I'm not really as big of a fan of of the new age point guard
right.
I am the old age, like, you know, the traditional, hey, let's get everybody involved, but I can also score point guards.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
What did you think of Justin Patton's landing spot? I mean, it's interesting. I mean, there's certainly a logjam there in the front line, but I think that's clearly a sign that they're going to be patient with him. But he goes to Minnesota. He'll be coached by Tom Thibodeau. What do you think of that fit?
I mean, I think he's going to be a great fit. You know, I think he's going to end up being a specialist in the league. I mean, rebounding, defense type of guy, and you know, be able to catch alley oops and stuff. So, as long as he's willing to work, he'll do fine under Tom Thibodeau. And Minnesota is one of the teams that that I've been talking to for a couple of years about coming up there. So,
sure.
You know, that'd be kind of cool to get matched, to get teamed up with him up there.
Yeah, he needs some tutelage. He definitely does. By the way, can Justin play with Karl Anthony Towns? Like, obviously he's not ready to play next year, but like in the future, could he be on the floor at the same time as Karl Anthony Towns or no?
Cat, he can do everything. So Cat will be able to, he'll be able to adjust. I mean, as long as Justin can guard pick and roll.
Yeah.
You know, as long as he can guard different positions and multiple people, he can play with anybody.
What's interesting is Minnesota's D-League is actually in Des Moines. Because he's going to spend some time in the D-League, he'll have some, you know, that's 2 hours away from Omaha, so he could have some familiar faces and all that stuff. I'm trying to think back to your journey and how much time you spent in the D-League. Like, what's the D-League like?
A guard heavy,
okay,
guard like dominated league. That is a league that you have to work really hard to separate yourself as a big man.
Yeah.
You know, so it's you have to go out there and separate yourself by doing other things besides just scoring, because the guards are going to take the majority of the shots, and they actually think that that's going to help them make it to the NBA. Which it doesn't really. You know, people don't need a scorer from the D League. They need defenders, rebounders, and people who can hit open shots. So
right. If
he goes down there with the right mindset and you know, he'll be a first round draft pick, so he'll be getting the ball quite a bit.
Sure.
But like for a guy like me, it's different. It was, you know, guards that were just taking all the shots, and I had to just kinda make it work, you know, accordingly. And so it worked out for me. Like I said, it helped me to develop and the confidence I needed to make it to the next level.
You ever look back on your career and during those handful of years where you were bouncing around and grinding and going overseas a little bit and do it like, and think about how just amazing that time was, where it was like, you talk about taking advantage of every single opportunity you were given. It was amazing for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you got to do, especially, yeah. Like I said, a guy like me that was not drafted, that wasn't highly touted. A lot of people didn't expect me to even make it, like, hardly make it overseas, let alone make it to the NBA. So, you know, for me, it was about proving everybody wrong. I was kind of like me against the world type attitude. Mm-hmm. So it really helped me to do what I needed to do to make it and to achieve my ultimate goal.
Was that all internally for you, AT? Like, was there a moment where you figured out what mindset you needed to have and what you needed to work on? Or was there a moment when someone got into your ear and said, hey, man, you got to think about this, you got to work on that? Did it all come internally, or was there someone that helped you?
Well, there was actually an article written before the pre-draft, like workouts and
yep,
stuff.
Yep, yep.
By somebody from like Draft Express or somebody. I can't even remember, but I can vividly remember it specifically saying, quote unquote, Tolliver will not be an NBA player. At best, he will be a serviceable rotation player overseas.
Mm.
And so that like literally to this day, I remember that word by word, because that literally motivated me to, like, I might go back and find out who wrote that and send them an email and say, hey, thank you. You know, I appreciate your words of encouragement,
because right.
even though you were, you know, saying I wasn't very good, it really helped me to push myself to the next level to get to where I am today.
Sure. Anthony Tolliver's my guest. You know what's interesting, though, AT, and maybe I read you wrong, and maybe you needed to have that fire when you to make it to the next level. I never felt like when I was playing with you at Creighton that you were necessarily motivated from like a chip on your shoulder. Like, you certainly played hard and you play with an edge, but I don't know. Maybe I was wrong. Like, even at Creighton, were you like, man, I'm gonna prove all y'all wrong? Was that your thought even there?
Yeah, internally. It was never something I showed externally. You know, something that I always kept in the back of my mind. You know, but it was never something that I never like let you know or Pierce right. or anybody, my roommates, hey guys, like, you're my roommate, I'm gonna let you guys know. Hey,
what's motivating?
I have a chip on my shoulder. Like, no, like, it's just something. It always motivates me, because, you know, over the years, like going back through high school, middle school, I mean, I've hardly ever been the man.
Yeah, right.
And it's not like I needed the recognition or anything like that. It always gave me a goal. It always gave me something to achieve, to try. Okay, dang, like, shoot, you know, we're winning these games and I'm doing my thing, but Nate Funk's on the front of all the newspapers.
Yep.
It wasn't like I was jealous. Mm-hmm. It was just like, yo, I'm trying to be the front of the newspaper, so I'm going to keep working.
Yeah.
So what it did, it ultimately just pushed me to be, to actually absolutely maximize what I had myself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, once I got to the NBA, it was an easy adjustment for me to say, I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to be a role player. I'm going to accept whatever role I'm given, because I've never been the best player on my team. So
right.
I've never been the guy who gets the ball. Well, I guess at Creighton a little bit my junior year.
Yeah, you let us. Yeah, the final 2 months of your junior year, you were the man.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, I can't even really point to much other time in my entire basketball career.
Right.
I tell kids this all the time in my camps and stuff. I'm like, yo, like, don't get twisted. Like, you don't have to be the best player on your team,
mm-hmm.
like, to make this NBA. You don't.
Yeah.
Like, I'm living proof of that. Like, I've only been, like I said, the best player on my team once, maybe twice, you know, and for a short period of time because somebody got hurt.
Right.
You know, it wasn't because I was the best player. So, you know, it's just one of those things that, like I said, I've always been internally motivated by the fact that I've never been the best player on my team.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I worry about that. You bring up a good point. It's one of the reasons I like Tatum. Is I think Tatum strikes me as a guy that could walk in and be like, all right, you need me to defend? Cool. But some guys only know how to be the man. And then you get worried about, like, imagine being crowned when you were 15 as the man. Like, it'd be hard to keep an edge. And you know, Anthony, being in the NBA, if you don't have an edge, you don't have something driving you, that league's going to eat you up.
Absolutely. Every single day. I mean, if you can't figure out what, you know, something to take you to another level of motivation and working hard, like, you're going to get left behind. And, you know, fortunately, I've been able to maintain my edge and my focus for all these years. And that's why,
I continue to get better and continue to become a better shooter and be a better player and stay relevant, you know, even as I'm getting older. It is easy, you know, it's like, shoot, I'm, you know, if I have one bad season or two bad seasons in a row, easily think of, oh, he's all he's done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like every year now is just like, it's like, you know, absolutely pressure filled.
Yep.
You know, and I'm not putting extra pressure on myself, but I just, you know,
it's reality.
I know that,
yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah, it's reality. Like, they're going to, if I go and shoot 25% from three for the whole year and I'm not hurt, you know, people look at me like I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's done. Next, who's up next? So it really motivates. So my motivation now, you know, is easy. I have three kids.
Yep.
I have a wife. And I, you know, I'm trying to hold off every single young boy I ever come across. Anytime I see a 6'9" or above guy that can shoot threes, I'm like, man, he ain't doing nothing.
Oh, man, that's the best thing I've heard in a long time right there. Anthony Tolliver's my guest. Man, it's hard to transition out of that. But, like, okay, real quick, especially because you know the financial aspect of things for salary caps, all that stuff. How big of a deal is it, AT, that the cap is $3 million less than what I think was originally projected? It seems small, but actually, could that be kind of big when teams are putting together their roster here when it starts in July 2nd?
Of course. I mean, shoot, that's money that would be going across the board. That's $90 million less. That would be less distributed to guys that are, you know, free agents. True, I'm a free agent.
That
sucks that there's $90 million less than what they thought it was going to be. That can be distributed, you know? So at the end of the day, shoot, it's not like anybody's hurting. It's just not what they projected. So it's going to ultimately affect a couple teams, I'm sure, that had, you know, a tight budget in the first place. You know, that might be the difference between getting a guy that, you know, maybe he's looking for 10 or 12 and you can only offer 8 or 9. You know, shoot, like, mm-hmm. you know, that guy might go look at some other place that could offer 10 or 12 because they have more cap space in the first place. You know, so it's definitely going to affect a few teams, you know, in their pursuit of different guys. But, you know, I guess time will tell exactly how it all plays out.
Anthony Tolliver's my guest. AT, help me out because you know better than all of us because you haven't played against all these guys. Yeah, I've said that to me, Kevin Love has been marginalized. Like, he's a lot better than what people think he is. Like, I think if he were to go to Indiana or wherever, I think he's, you know, he's 20-9 next year. But people act like he's kind of a bum, kind of like how people acted like Chris Bosh was a bum by the end of his time at Miami. I guess that's just kind of what happens. If
K Love is the centerpiece next year anywhere else besides Cleveland, he's going to average 25 and 12.
Yeah.
He's not going to be 20-9. He's a monster, dude. Like, I mean, I saw it firsthand 2 years in a row, like in Minnesota.
Yeah,
like,
right.
The dude, I mean, he put up in freaking monster numbers, and he's better now than he was then. So now he's better now than he was then, but he's playing with, you know, LeBron and Kyrie. Not so much LeBron is keeping him, you know, kind of bogged down. But when you play with Kyrie,
yeah,
I mean, you know, Kyrie's going to go shoot it. I mean, that's what he does, shoot. I mean, you can't blame him. You can't knock him. It is what it is. But whenever, you know, LeBron's going to have to get his shots, you know, Kyrie has to get his shots. And that only leaves a certain amount of shots for Kevin Love. He's the one that has to sacrifice the most. You know, kind of like Klay Thompson over in Golden State, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He just, during the regular season, he didn't have to sacrifice there as much. You know, he's got as many shots as he did last year, but during the playoffs, you know, he became, you know, real big third fiddle in the cog that is Golden State. That's what it takes. I mean, if you want to be great, you want to have that many great players on the team, people have to sacrifice, and he's the one who has to sacrifice the most on Cleveland.
Do you think, hypothetically, if Paul George would land in Cleveland, Paul George, Kyrie, LeBron, can that team beat Golden State?
Twice.
It's going to go six games instead of five? You still rolling with Golden State?
Mark my words right now. You can record this.
Yeah.
If they can't figure out a way to get Paul George and K-Love, they're not winning the series.
Mm. Yeah. You know what? And a lot of people, because a lot of, I'm more lean with you. Like, I think it makes it interesting, but I don't think it necessary. I'm not ready to change who I think wins that series. I still am rolling Golden State.
I don't think Golden State blows them out two or three times like it did this time. It's going to be closer games. Golden State still wins 4 out of 6. I mean, it's you know, take it how you want to take it. I mean, shoot, if it's, maybe it's 1-1 in the first two games, and it's 2-2 after the first four games. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, Golden State, they have four bona fide, you know?
Yep.
Like, I don't see how you can beat four bona fide with three bona fide. It's just not, it's just not going to happen.
It's simple math.
You know what I'm saying? Like, simple math. And it's not like Golden State has bums coming off the bench.
No.
Too. They have a really, really good bench. So, it's not, you know, I don't know what their roster is going to look like next year. You know, Steph did text me that, you know, I don't know. I might be going over there. But anyway, if I go over there, it's a wrap for everybody else. I'm telling you right now.
All right, we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. But do you have anything new? We were getting so close to this thing being capped with your camp. Do you have anything new for us? What you got?
Yeah, I mean, we've got about probably 5 or 6 spots left.
Perfect.
I'm actually at my camp in Springfield right now. Just finished. We maxed out that one, too. So.
Kickapoo? Are you at Kickapoo?
I'm down near Kickapoo. I'm in Springfield. But,
okay.
But, yeah, so we only got about 5 spots left. So, I mean, we'll probably do some giveaways a little bit here over the next week or two, okay, you know, leading up to the camp. But, you know, by that time, we might not even have any spots left. So, definitely want to get everybody that's been procrastinating,
signed
up. Otherwise, you might miss your chance. So, stayprogram.org. Make sure you get checked in. Like I said, every person that signs up, we're going to donate a net to Nothing But Net, help save a kid or two from the deadly disease malaria. So, trying to make sure we make a difference in the community, you know, in Africa, all over the world, on top of, you know, teaching these kids how to play basketball and associating how much fun we have by playing the game.
Anthony Tolliver, saveprogram.org. Well, AT, I think I speak for you when I say F all 6'9 guys who can shoot a little bit, right? All those young dudes.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they shot 40% from three in college.
Like,
I'm like,
no.
That's college.
That's college.
They can't stretch that like I can shoot.
That's a mid-range jumper in college, man. I mean, we got to take a few steps back a little bit here. I love it.
No doubt.
Good stuff, AT. Thank you so much, my man.
All right, have a good one.
Yep, Anthony Tolliver. Man, that was he was feeling it today. That was fantastic. He might have dropped a little something in there about Tolliver and Golden State. Well, he is a free agent, and AT is really tight with Steph. So we'll certainly be monitoring that. Let's take a break. 402-951-1620. 3 and out, still to get to Vers in the 1 o'clock hour as well. More game time around the corner.